Hello, and welcome to another episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting. My name is Danielle Ochieng, and I'm an early childhood education specialist by passion and profession with a degree in the same. I'm currently an early years curriculum designer and consultant, and also run an early literacy program for children in underserved communities called Watoto Wasome Trust. So I've been working with children for over 10 years in different capacities, usually all in one, a teacher, counselor, guide, friend, confidant, everything. And this spans through all ages, 0 to 18 plus years, but I focus on the early years and particularly the 0 to 5 because it's a foundation of everything about children. And now, drum rolls! It's time for another Did You Know fact. Now, did you know that an average 4-year-old asks 437 questions a day? Most of them the kawaida, why? And for every answer you give them the opportunity to devise another question. But look on the bright side. You can use these questions as teachable moments to help your child discover and learn more on a certain topic. And you also help them develop their language skills. Okay, so for the last two episodes, we were building a love foundation for our relationships with our children, and which will make raising them holistically easier and sweeter. And last week, we talked about discovering and understanding their love languages in order to fill their emotional bank accounts and help strengthen their emotional and psychological health, which makes today's topic, I'm not broken, just bent, easier to understand. So, have you ever ridden or rode a bicycle and had to fix a flat tire? Have you ever seen one being fixed? And what is used for it? A bicycle pump, obviously, right? So, okay, imagine if somebody decided to pump it using a pump for a machine like maybe an aeroplane. What would the results be? Probably an explosion and obviously a completely damaged tire. So now imagine your child is like the bicycle tire, and when trying to quote unquote fix them through different disciplinary methods, you use the wrong pump. I'll let you think on that. Okay, so before I go on, I would like to first send so much love and appreciation to all of you who are working to train up a child in the way they should go. Aki, may God just richly reward you. And may he bless you, and may you live long to enjoy the fruits of your hard work. Because as Frederick Douglass said, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. The one thing over years in interaction with parents and caregivers I've realized is discipline has now become a touchy-feely kind of topic to talk about. And I'll give my opinions, and from what has worked with me and the research that I've done, and now you're free to pick out what you feel is good and continue the methods, but I appreciate that you need to hear me out. So first of all, my advice is if you still have infants in your arms, really tiny babies who are still yet to be able to consciously all the time make their own decisions, start training them from that age. Believe you me, it's going to make it an easier hill to trek as they grow older. And if they're quite grown up, you know what they call the terrible twos in that age group, you still have time, you know. So we're going to work around it. So we've all heard of, or probably used the system of rewards and punishments, you know. The one of rewards for when the children are good and the one punishment for when they go contrary to expectations, yeah. So I got a simple question. Will giving a timeout, but this works for some, but will giving a timeout or beating a child for bad behavior teach the child not to repeat it? If yes or if no, why do they do it again? And sometimes even do it with no remorse? Because, hey, I have seen children, 2 to 5, 6 years, slap their parents. Like, you know that one with force. And the parent just looks at them and I'm like, wait, what? What? Am I missing something? Like, where's the disconnect? How does a child raise their hand at the parent, first of all? And two, the parent sits and does nothing. As in, okay, I don't know. Maybe I'm really just confused about this whole disciplining and the way we raise our children, and it's really concerning me, and it's the reason why it's a topic I'm handling right now. I always insist, like when it comes to disciplining a child, on cause and effect. So I'd like to introduce to a somewhat permanent solution. It's called Collaborative and Proactive Solutions, or CPS, and discovered by a man called, credit to Dr. Ross Green. By the way, you don't have to memorize the term. I'm just going to explain like what it means. So this model is based on helping to solve the problem rather than trying to modify the behavior through rewards and punishment. So you're trying to find a solution. The company where I work, it's one of our principles, solutions first. Instead of trying to modify behavior, you're trying to solve the problem at hand, like what the problem is. So remember in one of the previous episodes, I mentioned that every child's behavior is a manifestation of a deeper underlying factor, and the only way they can express it is through outward behavioral expression. So, well, Dr. Green addresses this in his studies, which, by the way, have worked. I've read about them tremendously well in schools that are considered to have experienced some of the highest levels of children with what we call defiant, extreme defiant behavior. Like, these kids are out there defiant when it comes to habits. As a by the way, it's important to understand developmental milestones appropriate for your child's age, so that even when you're implementing anything, you know you're working according to the child's level, and also you're sure that if they're moving with the right milestones, then some of these methods work. And sometimes they may need specialized kind of care depending on whether they need special care, special needs care, and stuff like that. So explaining his model, I'm just going to say this slowly so that we understand the principles. So his model is based on the discovery that challenging behavior in children occurs when our demands and expectations as adults being placed on a child exceed the child's capacity to respond as expected. And some children just honestly lack the skills to handle certain demands and expectations. And these are the skills that he encourages you work on teaching your children. I mean, it's ridiculous to punish a child for not being able to see something they're supposed to do or they're supposed to get, yet all they need is glasses and they're short-sighted. So we beat up a child because they couldn't see, yet the problem was an eyesight, right? So, okay, what I mean is I'm not saying that we allow our children to run wild and disruptive because, oh, CG, they're children, oh, that's how kids behave. They need to learn that there's a time and a season for everything. Ecclesiastes says that in chapter 3. So your child needs help to understand their emotions. I've talked about this. Emotions are complicated for us as adults. Can you imagine how much more they are for children? So they just need help to understand the emotions, the reactions to the emotions, and the impact it's having on others. And that's, of course, you have to explain it to their age. So engage them in the problems that affect their lives. Like, what if they're screaming and crying and you're like, ah, this kid just won't keep quiet. I don't know what the problem is. I've done everything. But what if it's, they just have a stomach ache and all they need is like some activated charcoal or some remedy to just get rid of the stomach? Or what if somebody is bullying them and they just need help and that's why they're screaming and you're trying everything and nothing's worked? They could be sick. There's always something wrong. Or sometimes they rarely see the ones they love and they just need that quality time. Yes, we talked about this last time. Alice say, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I'm telling you, I strongly believe and I know that children do not act out of nothing. Even though sometimes that is what we think, there's always an underlying factor. So, for this model, Dr. Green's model, the emphasis is not on the challenging behavior. It's not on the tantrums and the screaming and the spitting and the biting and the slapping. Because when you start saying, you're always you, it becomes attacking and the child begins to feel like they are a horrible person and everything is their fault and they begin to feel unloved. Remember, we always talked about love. So the emphasis is not on the challenging behavior, but it's on the manner in which they express themselves. Emotions, okay, like you can get angry, saying that anger is a problem, and what you do with that anger is a problem. Maybe somebody may offend you and yes, they did it wrong, but when you go and hit them or insult them, You see, we're talking about the manner in which they express themselves, even for you as an adult, because children are having difficulty meeting the certain expectations. They're not broken, just bent. Not broken, just bent. So please, please stay with me. So, for example, they're having a conflict with a sibling, and you can see they react, they get angry, and they probably hit the sibling, or depending on the environment they've gone through, if they have vulgar in the home, they'll use the vulgar words, or in the environment. So they react in a certain way that you don't know. And so they're human. The natural instinct is to hit or to revert back. So they're lacking the skill of how to handle it. I hope we're together on this. So instead of shouting at the beating the child, you take them in your arms. I always talk about that, or hold them, or tell them, and make them look at you and tell them, okay, you're angry because your brother doesn't want to play with you or has taken whatever it is you have, but throwing or hitting them does not change it. How about you do this? Now you see, you're giving a solution. You're giving them the skills of how to handle that kind of emotion. So unlike us, our children do not have life experience like we do. So we don't expect them to reason from cause to effect unless you slowly train them how to do that without instilling fear in them. I mean, even us as adults, when we get mad, we say things, mean things, or we do mean things. How much? And yet we have had life experience to know I should not be reacting like this. I need to close my eyes, take a deep breath, and calm down. Now, we still react in anger. We still react in hatred. We still react with different emotions. And yet you're expecting your child not to get angry when you deny them something, or when you're helping them understand, I'm not giving you this. I know you want X, Y, Z, but behaving like this does not help you get what you want, does it? Now, how about we do this? You know, helping them understand it, yeah, without instilling fear in them. For example, you can just say, Tendai, when you scream like that, you honestly are hurting our ears. And it makes it hard for us to do whatever it is you want to do. Or when you do this, you know, it's just cause to effect. Let them see what their behavior. And always mention the emotion. When you see the emotion, I see you're sad. You're helping them identify with an emotion, which makes it easier to express themselves as they grow older. I know you're angry. I can see you're angry. I can see you're upset. I can see you're mad. You know, I can see your heart. Using words so they can put a word to the emotions and know, okay, when I start feeling like this, it's called anger. It's called sadness. It's called joy. It's called, yeah. And some other example is usually if you touch fire, you know, we've all gone through this example, you're going to get burned. And if it burns you, you're going to be in so much pain. Stating what it is, what the effect will be, and how they're going to feel about it. So if they won't listen, I usually say, let life teach them a thing or two. Then they will realize you are right. But please, please, always be mindful, first of all, of their age and of their health and safety. Don't now just be putting flames and say, so you wanted to get burnt, go and get burnt. Mm-mm. Okay, so let's get more practical. When talking to your child, I need to get their full attention by telling them, if they're playing, to stop what they were doing and listen to you. Especially if you want them to do a task like clean their room or pick up something, they have to look at you in the eyes, you know? And I'm saying, do this with love, 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 love. Yeah, do this with love. Hold them, then go down to their level, please. I'll always insist, when I say go down, if you have to kneel, kneel. If you have to squat, squat. If you have to sit, sit, so that you can look them in the eyes. You know, it's very easy to communicate if people look in the eyes. And then say their name, then make your request. And if they understand, ask them if they understand, and then tell them to repeat it back to you. And I will insist, wait for their full attention before making a request. It works better before you lose your mind. So, Tinashe, stop what you're doing. Okay, look at me, Tinashe. Look at me in the eyes. I need you. You see, I've mentioned the name, Tinashe. I need you to go to your room and put your things in order. Put the shoes where they're supposed to be. Explain what it is you need to explain to the child. And then ask them, have you understood? Sometimes they say yes and they haven't. They said, okay, then tell me what I've told you to do. I need to see if you've understood. So you make them repeat it. It's that simple. So remember, we are working from cause to effect, right? We're helping them understand the why, you know? Remember, first comes love. But I insist, be firm. Be very firm in what you say. Don't waver, but do it with love. You don't need a rod. And the rod does not necessarily mean kiboko, like the cane. And okay, you know what? Let me just move on. So when the child refuses to do something you told them to do, and you can feel that steam in your ears, yani you're feeling I am going to explode. Remember, we're learning to handle our emotions, teaching them how to handle their emotions the right way. You need to remember, as a parent or caregiver, you first need to calm down, okay? And also realize you're not the problem. So you first need to calm down as a parent. If you have to walk out and tell them, I'm really mad right now, so I'm going to walk off and calm down. Then I'll come back and we handle this situation. They'll also realize, oh, when I'm angry, instead of me reacting, I can go cool off and then come back. You see, teachable moments. You don't always have to speak it. They learn through our actions. You see, because if you express your frustrations through shouting and screaming, they will do the exact same thing to you. And then you will get the classical, my kids don't even respect me, yet they are just replicating what they see and what they know. So in the heat of the moment, calm down. Imagine there is no need to descend on them with thunder and lightning. Okay, so after you've calmed down, share your frustrations. And let them know it was hurtful, or you did not like it when they disobeyed, or they talked rudely, or they talked back to you. You've calmed down, and now you're expressing how you're feeling. You see, you're also teaching them to calm down and talk about their emotions and feelings, that things are solved, and unlike what their cartoons teach them, that the good person must always physically beat and destroy the bad person, they will learn that I don't have to fight to get things solved, yeah? And then tell them your expectations. You know, tell them, okay, Tendai, I did not like when I told you to do this, and you outrightly disobeyed me, did not listen, and you're still seated here. And then you tell them your expectations. Okay? I expect you, the first time I tell you something, you do it. You know? Or if you're like, say, you're going to the supermarket, before you go there, tell them, we are going to the supermarket to buy X, Y, Z. Show them the list and read it out and say, this is what we're going to buy. Then you tell them, this is for kids who cry in supermarkets and shops and restaurants, and they want everything. I expect you to walk calmly when you're with me next to the trolley and not to cry while we're in the supermarket. Okay? So that's, if you're in the supermarket and they start behaving like that, stop them, hold them, as I say, with love, and just explain to them, I expect you to walk and not cry while we're in the supermarket. Then give them time to make it better and stop crying. And if it still isn't working, give them the choices. You know, where the end goal is always what is supposed to be done, what you want them to do. Okay, so now, Tinashe, you either hold the trolley and stay calm as you walk, or you walk a little in front of the trolley and stay calm, no crying. Then ask them what should be, then give them the choice. They choose the option. After that, ask them, if you do not listen to the options you've given or what we agree on, what should be done? Let them choose their consequences. Let them feel in charge. You know, you take more responsibility even in your job when you're given a project to do. You take more responsibility and more pride when you're given a charge. So let them know that if you don't do this, what are the consequences? You know, there's one thing I will insist. Please, please, please remember never to bribe them. Don't bribe them with just giving them what they want or trying to keep them shut, because that will only make it worse. And then you need to mean what you say, and then follow through till it's done. The one thing that parents find hard is, I know your baby's adorable, these kids are so adorable, and they can move from Dracula's face to this sweet angel, and you forget what they've done, and you're like, the consequences now won't follow. You know, kids are also some of the world's best manipulators. They're manipulating every time, they know, okay, I'll do wrong, and then I'll put this sweet face or do something, and then dad, your mommy's gonna forget about it. Please, always follow through. Even when the behavior has changed, they need to know. The first time you forgive, it's not a first time discipline. You talk the first time, second time, third time, now the consequences have to follow. And you have to, even if they say sorry, tell them, thank you, I appreciate you've realized why you're apologizing. They say why they're apologizing, I appreciate you know why you're sorry, but we had agreed that this is going to happen and you do this and you follow through. Because your actions teach your children to take your words seriously. I mean, children don't question your limits with their words, but with their actions. They don't push you with their words, they will push you with what they're doing. So remember how we said earlier that children's behavior is as a result of demands and expectations that they don't know how to deal with? So we still want our kids disciplined, don't we? So after you've tried the calming down, depending if this is tantrums or anger issues, and you're trying to help them understand the emotion and deal with it, and it's still not working, sometimes, that's if you've tried a few times, a notch higher has to come through. I beg, Aki, I'm begging, please. This is only after you've tried several, many, numerous attempts. Sometimes you have to take it a notch higher. And beating it doesn't have to be a notch higher. Consequences could be more severe in terms of not hurtful to the child. If it's something they like, you take them away, you explain, or you're taking them away and say it's not coming back until behavior changes. It's all about reinforcement and being consistent. The consequences must follow, okay? So now before you down the consequences on them, prepare the child for them. When you do this, Aki, it's always nice, even when you're signing a job contract, you're told these are the expectations of the company. This is what happens when you go against the company. So you're prepared. You know what's going to happen. And it's you work knowing in case of XYZ. Your children need the same thing. Prepare them for the consequences. And no, I am not talking about the cane or kiboko, as it's called. That's called in Kiswahili. But for whatever method you use, always give choices. Choices, I insist, that will still get you your desired outcome. If it's washing the dishes, they're playing something, you say, okay, I need you to go wash the dishes now. Okay, then I need to go choose to wash the dishes now, or in exactly 10 minutes, I'll put a timer. You stop playing your game and go wash the dishes. So which one do you prefer? So you're not giving them a third option of them not doing the dishes. At the end result, they will still have to do what it is. You know, and choices make them feel empowered. They're like, okay, mom, just let me play this 10 minutes, and then I'll go do the dishes. If they won't play nicely, you ask them very calmly, okay, are you going to play nicely with Shaka or do you want to sit by yourself? You know, here you're getting to modify the child's behavior for good social skills, yeah? So we're asking, not ordering. So even God told the Israelites, choose this day what you would, blessings or curses. He didn't force anything on them. Force only brings resentment. Love makes people, you know, things just flow. So I'd also say that you need to be consistent with the rule enforcement. Because one compromise and it's downhill from there, because they will know how to manipulate it. And always offer empathy and encouragement. When they do something right, tell them, thank you, you know, I love the way you have done the dishes like this, or put your bed in order and put this way. Because they're still trying to understand themselves. And always beware of your body language, because they read into that too. And avoid trying to reason with them when they're throwing tantrums. It's not a negotiation kind of thing. Don't give in to their demands, because you're feeding into that behavior and it will grow and get worse. And it's going to reach an intolerable level that is only curable, sometimes by a combination of prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. And I'm sure you don't want to go to that level. So when the dust has settled, go back. When the anger and everything has gone down, go back and have a conversation with the child about their feelings. Because sometimes you don't want to talk about it immediately if they're angry or sad. Just talk and go back and talk about their feelings and how they can deal with it better. And don't hold a grudge to remind them later. And please, Aki, don't guilt trip them. Nobody wants to be reminded of the things they did. I'm a sinner saved by grace. It was an issue in the past. We're moving on. You know, a toddler has no idea what they're feeling because emotions overwhelm them. So as I said, just help them name the emotions, even the kids as they grow older. It will help them begin to understand and identify what they're feeling. And when that feeling comes, they will know the name of it and how to better deal with them. Introduce your child to prayer and meditation. It helps a lot. You can do research on this religion and, you know, this love and submission to a higher being and to God. It helps your child a lot because it makes them more accountable. And the Spirit of God just helps control your child. And when God knows you're trying your best, He will send His angels to help you do this work, because you're not in this alone. And give second and third chances before the consequences, you know. And then always hold them. Okay, just hold your kids with love and ask them, if something's made them angry or really sad, ask them, what do you need to feel better? And if the response is something you don't want to give them, because probably they've been trying to get probably some cookies or ice cream at that point, explain the why and when they can have it and why they can't have it. And if they can, or if they cannot have it. For the older ones, usually like 4 years and above, teach them this formula, and I really love it because it's been very effective. You tell them, it's I feel dash when dash and I want dash. So I feel sad when, you know, you don't have time for me and I'd want to spend more time with you, you know. Or I feel sad when so-and-so takes away my toys and I want them to ask for permission or wait for me to be done my turn. So it's I feel dash when dash and I want. So instead of rolling out punishment, ask them at first. You don't have to instantly. Just, okay, this is what you've done. See the effect, you know, cause and effect. Then ask them, what would you have done differently? You know, sometimes they may just need help coming up with answers, especially at the beginning. You could give them alternatives because they probably don't know. And I told them the skills, the lack and the mean, as explained Dr. Reese's method. Give them alternatives, like help them understand, give them the skills to learn how to deal with the behavior, you know. So example, Sifa, throwing toys is not okay. You could just have told me what you wanted nicely and I could have helped because I'm here for you, okay. And children will always try to test you. Aki, they'll always try to test you. And these methods are not at easy to implement. Sometimes it would take time, I'll always say it would take time, but the results are going to be sweet. And they'll always try to push you. I'm begging, don't give in. Just follow the steps and do it in love and pray for God to give you the grace. Pray for God to help your kids soften their hearts and for his angels to work through your kids' minds and make it so much easier. And while you're doing this, please always be filling the emotional bank accounts, as we talked in the previous episodes, to help them be able to know that even as you do this thing, I mean, at some point, kids will hate their parents, but they'll always know you love them. Even if they want to hold on to that thought of the hate, they know that you love them. So keep filling the emotional bank account through their love languages. Affirm when they do right things, affirm that behavior, you know, not all the time, but once in a while, once often, actually, affirm the good things they do, and they will always try to do this and appreciate their behavior. So again, thank you so much. We've come to the end of today's episode, and thank you so much for listening. And also for those who've tried to reach out, we are still working on building up for those topics. And I promise, again, we will still handle them. We're just building the foundation, knowing how to handle our children the right way. And for those who still have more questions, you can reach me via email on parentingbabysteps@gmail.com. Parentingbabysteps is one word, @gmail.com. Yes, and I'm so thankful for all those who are faithful in listening. May God bless you. Feel free to reach out with your questions or clarifications by that email. And I'll be glad to talk to you about it and give further anything you need. Thank you so much and bye.